You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Friday, which means we get to continue our Set Apart to Serve conversations.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul at csp.edu.
Joining us today, the Reverend Gregory Jans. He serves Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Somerset, New Jersey. Pastor Jans, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you both. Great to be with you today.
Also joining us today, Mark Sadlow. He's a senior majoring in history at Rutgers University. Mark, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's learn a little bit about both of you and where you live and serve. Pastor Jans, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Somerset, New Jersey.
Sure. The congregation just celebrated its 66th anniversary, and I am their seventh pastor. I retired from the United States Air Force Chaplaincy in 2024 and had served here as the vacancy pastor with pulpit supply for about 15 months before that. So as I transitioned out of the Air Force after 27 and a half years, it turned into a call here. Just under 100 baptized, delightful congregation, about the right size for someone that's retired once. And district here in New Jersey wanted me to spin up a new Lutheran campus ministry at Rutgers. And so that's been some of the fun here, too. And that led to some of the conversations we'll have today.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. What do you love serving? What do you love about serving at Trinity Lutheran Church?
What a privilege to walk beside people. It can be in the best of times. It can be in the worst of times. But to be a servant leader, to be in the business of our Lord's church, of handing out the forgiveness, as the word is preached in truth and purity, and the sacraments are rightly administered. What a joy. And for such a time as this, as our country becomes ever more biblically illiterate, and people are chasing after other things that tickle ears, but sometimes it's just fascinating to be in this part of the country at this time.
Tell us a little bit about the campus ministry that started between Trinity at Rutgers.
Yeah, the district had a ministry back in the 60s. They even had a house. So it's a much simpler restart or start again. The district, the congregation, and I had signed an MOU back in the fall of 2024. We found 8 Lutheran students the first year. We have 12 Lutheran students this year. But as a military retiree, I have access to all the ROTC cadets. So I've taught in the Air Force ROTC detachment. I've briefed the 140 Army cadets a couple of times, now 2 years in a row. Went to the Army Ball for their assignments night in December. And 2 years in a row, I'm going to be able to bring an invocation and benediction at their commissioning service. And with the Navy, had the opportunity to preside at the marriage for a ensign and her husband before they shipped out to Japan. So that's pretty cool. The other thing is that there are about 700 veterans on the main campus in New Brunswick with Rutgers that are either veterans themselves, veteran spouses, or veterans' children. So in the second year, 12 Lutheran students, 240 cadets, another 700 veterans. And oh, by the way, I have an SMP vicar who's also interested in ministry at the second campus, because he teaches business down at Rutgers, so good for him.
Mark, tell us about your path to Rutgers University.
Sure. Well, as most Rutgers students, I wasn't really planning on going to Rutgers. I really wanted to go to Fordham in the Bronx, in the city. But things didn't really turn out. I got in, but then my scholarship wasn't as big as I thought it was going to be. And so Rutgers was a great second option for me. So I somehow ended up here, but I'm very happy with it. It's a great school. So.
And you're studying history. What is it about history you love?
Oh gosh, what's there not to like about history? Well, I've always been fascinated by history. I mean, I grew up watching the History Channel, and documentaries and stuff like that with my dad and such. And on top of that, I also love church history. And that was really fascinating for me. And to be able to study something that you love so much, I think is the way to go. So,
absolutely. Mark, how did you end up meeting Pastor Jans?
So, my home congregation of Christ the King in Ringwood, New Jersey. I've been a member there ever since I was born. I was baptized by my grandfather, actually, who was an LCMS pastor. And so I've always been in the church. And so for the first 2 years that when I was at Rutgers, I participated in the Catholic campus ministry because there was no Lutheran campus ministry. And I also went to some non-denominational ministries and such. However, going into my junior year, they started the Lutheran campus ministry. And so I'm pretty sure there was an email that went to all the New Jersey congregations in the New Jersey district, and was asking that for any students that they knew that go to Rutgers, that are LCMS already. And so I put my name on the list, and the rest is history, as they say.
Mark, what did your conversations look like when you first met Pastor Jans? What were your conversations about and what were they like?
I think originally it was just about getting to know me as a person, meeting me as a person. I remember going out to lunch a couple times, diving into my interests, why I'm here, a little bit about my family. And so Pastor Jans and I have built, I'm positive he would say the same thing, a pretty good relationship. He's come to some of my home congregation's concerts, supported me that way, and also just supported me spiritually as I go to school at Rutgers and as I'm away from my home congregation.
Pastor Jans, tell us about some of those conversations, those early conversations with Mark.
Yeah, I have teased him because I actually had met him at his home congregation when he was a junior in high school. In that, it was after Dr. Rick Serino had taken a call from Christ the King Ringwood to the CTCR there in St. Louis. And here is this young man serving as the assisting minister, chanting parts of the liturgy next to me behind the altar. And I know it was him because I remember it was the son of the organist, and his dad, Scott, is a wonderfully trained at Bronxville organist. And so it was fun reconnecting because we had met each other just a couple of times, but we've used his voice in my congregation here at Holy Trinity Somerset, and he's helped as assisting minister there. Those early conversations were, get to know each other. And I had probably fairly early on heard that he was interested in pastoral ministry or toyed with that. His current pastor, his former pastor, his uncle, Chris Sadlow, is a pastor in my circuit and was my first circuit visitor. So I was hearing from multiple points that Mark was considering this. And that too, I've worked very hard to be supportive and not pressuring. And I trust we'll get into more of some of his part in that story too.
Mark, how would you say your conversations have grown since then? What do those conversations with Pastor Jans look like today?
Yeah, so I decided that I kind of needed to discern a little bit. I'm not going to jump right after graduation. So I'm going to take a little bit of a gap year just to kind of discern more. But those conversations have revolved around, Pastor Jans's experience going to seminary, kind of the expectations of what seminary life would be like, but then just also more so general questions about the culture and stuff like that. So,
yeah, how did pastoral ministry, how did that become a thing that you were interested in doing? It sounds like you have a lot of church workers in your family, but how is that something that you decided was a potential future vocation for you?
Yeah, so, growing up around, the church, going to church every single Sunday, special services during the week sometimes, I think that just really grew my faith. And I looked up to, for example, my father, who's the organist still at my church, and, the various pastors that I've had over the years. So I think their examples have really encouraged me in the faith. But also, especially at my home congregation, the love of the liturgy and of music, I think, kind of aid in the worship experience. And those two things, the liturgy and music, I just love. So that also, you know, makes me excited about the possibility of church work in that way.
We are in our Set Apart to Serve conversation today. We're talking with Pastor Gregory Janz and Mark Sadlow, a student at Rutgers University. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth. Who am I? How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking with Pastor Gregory Janz of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Somerset, New Jersey, and Mark Sadlow. He's a senior majoring in history at Rutgers University. And at the time this airs, I believe it's 2 days prior to graduation for Mark. Now, we're recording this a little bit earlier, a few weeks out. So, Mark, I know you probably can feel the excitement that's building even more so at the time that this airs. It'll probably be even more exciting for you with graduation right around the corner, just a couple days away. What are your future plans after graduating?
Sure. So I'm going to try to teach for a year, take a little gap year, or another job, which I, you know, might stumble across. But yeah, in the meantime, I wanted to teach in my little gap year and kind of discern a little bit more whether seminary is, you know, 100% the right path for me. So.
Sure. You mentioned your love of liturgy, your love of music. How do you see those things, music and pastoral ministry, complementing each other? It sounds like these are things you really, really enjoy.
Yeah. So I sing in the Rutgers University Glee Club, great ensemble. That's not that related, but I mean, it has furthered my love of music. And when I studied in Berlin at Freie Universität, I was in two choirs. The English Choir Berlin and then the Renaissance Choir Berlin. And we sang in services in the Berliner Dom, which is the Berlin Cathedral. And so those two experiences, you know, really helped my love of music. But I think that music serves the church in that, especially congregational singing, which is very important, of course, to us Lutherans. It's another opportunity to teach doctrine, to teach, you know, the congregation and have the congregation confess those things together as one unit. So I think that's very special. But even, you know, anthems and stuff like that, other music, really sets the mood for worship. And so I think that, you know, beautiful music enhances our understanding and our experience in worship.
Mark, you mentioned studying abroad. Tell us a little bit more about that and what interested you in studying abroad and what you gained from that experience.
Yeah, definitely.
In addition to great music.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. So I studied in Berlin, in Germany, and I took German in high school. Wasn't that good at it. And wanted to improve my German a little bit. And what better way to do that, to immerse yourself in the language. So I was there for last spring semester, spring 2025. And it was just a wonderful experience learning the language, experiencing a different culture. And it was just great. I've lived with a host mother, so I got to, you know what an actual German, you know, does and lives.
How does that kind of experience encourage you in your future vocations? I know you know, studying abroad and learning a new culture really can has a potential of opening your eyes to just some new opportunities and new things. How has that influenced how you think about your future vocations and pastoral ministry at all?
Definitely. I think as a pastor, you have to have a love for people. And part of that is trying to empathize with people, learning about their different experiences, their different life situations. And so I think traveling, and especially living in a different place, opens one's eyes to the different situations of different people. And it also forces you to try to understand the different people and the different culture and why people do certain things. And so I think that is essential for a pastor, especially, you know, ministering to people.
You've shared that you're considering pastoral ministry, considering seminary and formation, taking a year to explore some more before going into seminary as a possibility. What do you think, what's on your mind as you consider this future of seminary and pastoral formation? What do you think are on the minds of other young men who might be considering seminary and pastoral formation? What are the things that are important that you're considering you think others might consider through that process?
Well, first off, I would like to believe that a lot of people in my situation are also very, not hesitant, but, you know, it's definitely a big commitment. And I think realizing that is important, right? Because you're giving your life to the church to serve others. And it's a very noble pursuit. But I think that, you know, the love of God and the love of the scriptures and of the church and of, you know, the liturgy that has been passed down to us. I think those things are, you know, what young men like me are serious about. And I think that, you know, Pastor Jans has been a great model to me. And I think that having good leaders, and of course, you know, Pastor Hodge is my pastor at Christ the King Ringwood. But having these good role models to model the faith for us, I think that's essential. And that helps, you know, us young men discern our path.
Absolutely. Pastor Mark just mentioned that you're a role model to him. What does that mean for you to be in that kind of position, to be in a leadership position, to minister to young men while they're in university and potentially leading some of them to think about future church work vocations?
Yeah, it's both humbling and what a great opportunity. I mean, like with Mark, we've given him opportunity to walk alongside our board of deacons here, because I don't know that he had that opportunity growing up in his home congregation, but it could round him out a little bit as he considers pastoral formation. I had fun spending more hours with him before he went to Berlin as his German tutor. So he's met, up to a handful of times and dusted off my German and hopefully sharpened his a little bit to practice. And so it's that gift of time, of opportunity, and just letting him look in and see another example. He knows his home congregation much better, and for many more years, he got to see a little bit of what we do here at Holy Trinity as well.
Pastor, how do you see the local church and pastors like yourself, congregation, synod, how do you see all of us playing a part in helping young men like Mark in this journey?
Yeah, what a opportunity again, but also to continue to have the conversation. You know, my confirmation pastor lots of years ago, the Friday before my confirmation, sat across the table at the AAL dinner in the day with confirmands and their families. And Pastor Michael Warner planted the seed for me. Have you ever thought, Greg, about becoming a pastor as an eighth grader? The answer, frankly, was no. And it lay dormant until I was a senior in high school, and God led me around back to the idea again. I wanted to be a German major, study abroad, and go on to the seminary. So it was just kind of talking about it. With my congregation here, they're 66 years into their history. They've never sent anybody off into church work. And the look in their face, or better, probably the wheels turning as I asked them, how do you expect to get pastors if you've never sent anybody into fields ripe for harvest? Oh, yeah, I guess that could be important. And so our joy after we came back from the National Youth Gathering in New Orleans last summer, one of our young women, she is interested in becoming a DCE, she announced, after we came back from the youth gathering. So it's not just pastors only, but all church workers. I'm a fan of Set Apart to Serve, and it's continuing that conversation, pastors just being intentional of people talking about it, and who do we think could serve as God leads? It's not ours to pressure. The Holy Spirit will do his work when and where he wills, and yet to keep that conversation always kind of in the front, thinking about it, talking about it.
That sounds like there's a bit of a culture shift going on, thinking about what that actually looks like in a congregation to encourage young men and women to consider vocations. Is that something that you've seen, a culture shift happening in the congregation?
I think there's a renewed interest in having a conversation because we all know we are short of church workers, in that an average vacancy as a current circuit visitor is about 25 months across Synod. That's a long time for any congregation to be without an under-shepherd. And having walked beside some of those congregations along the way, you know, there's much that can still continue as long as they're able to hear the word preached on Sundays with retired pastors or vacancy pastors or pulpit supply, with the sacraments being administered. But it's still not much fun to be without an under-shepherd. So to get after this, to talk about it, yeah, I hope there is a culture shift in that it's becoming ever more important in our culture that's running away from the cross. You know, as we've all been taught, wherever in life, run towards the cross, because there is where we find words of eternal life, not in chasing after the sillinesses of the world. And so, yeah, my prayer is that we continue with this initiative. We're decidedly not calling it a program because it's to be enduring. And if that can change a culture, it will take time. Cultures don't shift automatically. It may take years and a generation, but let's get after it together.
Mark, you mentioned spending the next year after graduation discerning and exploring. What are some ways you hope to do that? I know you mentioned teaching. What are some ways that you are intentionally going about exploring the possibility of going to seminary and pastoral formation?
Sure. Well, I think more conversations are helpful. I know we've had a couple of Pastor Jans, but you know, more conversations with people like, for example, Dr. Serena, getting, you know, other people's, you know, opinions on whether or not I'd be a good pastor. So I think just having more conversations, deepening myself, you know, in the Word, in prayer. I've tried to pick up doing morning and evening prayer, you know, every day, which has been a challenge at some point. But I think that's a good practice. Prayer, you know, reading God's Word. I think those things will help a lot, and conversation.
Pastor Jans, your encouragement to Mark and other students who are maybe spending some time, maybe the next year, considering, contemplating and considering futures in church work?
Yes. I mean, there's always opportunities. I always try to be encouraging. I don't twist arms. You know, God's word will grow in people's lives. And so, you know, he's faithful, and our job is to sow the seed, in that to sow it recklessly. I love the Franzman hymn, I think, there, of just, you know, to sow the seed recklessly, and God will bring the growth. It's what an opportunity to serve. And yes, there are others. And others who may not know that they could even be looked at or should think about church work. And sometimes it's second career folks. But I think we kind of define second career as they've worked for 2 years after college graduation or all of that. So that doesn't mean that they have to be older or midlife. You know, the oldest classmate from the seminary in St. Louis for me was like in his mid-50s when we graduated decades back. But the oldest that I saw graduate with a Master of Divinity was a PhD that taught down in Carbondale. He was 75 when he got his MDiv. You know, God bless him and our sainted brothers, both of them now. But nevertheless, yeah, let's keep talking about it and God will bring the growth.
Amen. Our guest today, the Reverend Gregory Janz. He is pastor of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Somerset, New Jersey. Pastor Janz, thanks for joining us today.
My privilege. Great to be with you.
And Mark Sadlow, senior majoring in history at Rutgers University, just days away from graduation. Mark, congratulations, and thank you for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you.
You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.